With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told, Transformation. I'm here to talk to people that can help you transform your life with different tools to find a way to shift. So what does that mean when I talk to Greg Friedman on this day? So Greg, I know from a great radio show called Inner Journey with Greg Friedman, but I've also known him as somebody who has been a wise guide and has healed me before. There's one time when I didn't feel well. And Greg, there was some specific energy work that you did with me. So I'm going to ask you.
To remember what that was? Okay.
I'm going to ask you about your healing modalities. I know that it involves shamanism. And I think would be a root of your teachings and your healing offerings. So we can talk specifically about what different ways that you can heal people, but I'd like to first ask you, what is shamanism?
Oof. Well, it depends. If you're in Southern California, you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody that says they're a shaman.
That's true.
The first thing that tells me they're probably not a shaman is when they tell you they're a shaman. Because I've had the privilege of working with some amazing medicine men and healers and shaman down in the jungles of Peru, out on reservations, all over the Aborigines in the outback. And one thing they all had in common, never called themselves a medicine man, never called themselves a shaman, never called themselves a healer. Other people did or would. They wouldn't refute it, but they didn't do it themselves.
It wasn't overt. Yes.
So what is my definition of a shaman? There's two definitions that I found that I really, really like. One is a wounded healer. And the other one is a bridge.
Let's start with the wounded healer, please. What does that mean?
Well, I have found, again, especially here in Southern California, a whole bunch of arrogance, a whole bunch of people standing on soapboxes telling you that they're the great and powerful Oz. And I used to work with an incredible shaman from the jungles of Peru. And I watched him do something similar as he got caught up in the Southern California lifestyle. And it was a great gift to me because I looked at him literally standing on a soapbox this time. And I said, that's not my place. My place is down in the mud. My way to teach is from a place of understanding that I'm no better than anybody else and I'm no cleaner than anybody else. I'm in process. I'm a human and I have my own wounds. And I was working with an elder and I went back to tell him, and I was so proud of myself. I went back to tell him how amazing I felt I did because I was working with a client. And they had all this stuff that came up that activated me. And I said, I put it on the back shelf and I didn't let it get in the way of anything at all. And he looked at me and he went, you idiot. And I went,
what would happen?
What?
Yeah.
He said, use it. It's there for you. Hmm. It's part of who you are as a teacher, as a healer, as a helper, as a guide. So if that stuff comes up, it's not something to be ignored. It's a part of your gift to bring to the table. And I went, okay, that makes sense. I'm in process.
Yes.
I'm human. So if I put parts of myself aside, I'm being of less service to the moment.
Now, would you say parts that you might be putting aside, would you say that that would be examples of maybe anger, judgment? I mean, what works? What is this grist for the mill, ultimately?
All of it, mm-hmm. Yeah. So if somebody says something, I get pissed off. I could say, hey, that pisses me off. Or I could say to myself internally, you're activated. What's activating and how do you apply it to this situation?
Okay. So activation. I like that word. I think I'd like to take note of that word as we're looking at different ways that this all works. Because this is some subtle energy that's happening. It's subtle and yet it's really powerful until it becomes powerful.
Yeah. So if I'm activated, it's pointing to something inside of me that I can use to help myself grow and or help somebody else grow.
Okay, that's great. So let's bring it back around to tools. Now, in shamanism, a lot of times I think there's some traditions that we think about, right, with medicine men and, right, and there's things like, in fact, I even brought an example of a rattle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, I mean, you can laugh about this, but energetically, it feels kind of great to have it going around my energy field, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously, a favorite one, you mentioned Southern California, it grows here, sage, burning smudge and things like that. We, a lot of times, think of shamanism as having a lot of rituals that to participate in to make this all happen. So let's talk a little bit about those tools and how it brings about the healing and the shift.
So let's start with the sage and then I'll work into some of the tools if you want. Earth, air, fire, water. Almost all of my teachings from the beginning of my adulthood working with indigenous elders has been about the medicine wheel. Every single thing. You know, you talk about cleaning devices, healing devices. All of those, earth, air, fire, water. So smudge, what are you doing? You're taking that energy and you're essentially washing yourself and letting it go up to the ether.
Yeah.
Water, same thing. You're just cleansing yourself. We're all more familiar with that earth. I cannot even begin to tell you how many times I've said clients that are frenetic or feeling ungrounded.
Yes.
Go work in the garden. And if you can't work in the garden, go stick your hands in the dirt. I don't care if other people think you're a fool for doing it.
Hug a tree.
Hug a tree. Exactly. Fire. And so it's same thing. We talk about burning off things.
Mm, yes.
Same. All of it is very, very important to our health and well-being. And what all a ritual is it brings form, format, and consciousness to an event. So it creates a dynamic that facilitates, helps you walk through a threshold, whether that's a rite of passage, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a divorce, whether that is a graduation ceremony, true, coming into puberty.
Yeah.
There are rituals for almost everything.
Funeral. Yeah.
And people talk about, so do you have a ritual for that? And one of the things that I encourage people to do is to help them recognize that every single one of us is powerful. Every single one of us has a ritual inside of us. Mm. What is it that you would design for this situation? Where are you coming from? Because if I do it for you, then you look at me and you go, oh, he's the strong one.
Yes.
But if you do it, then you recognize in a very visceral fashion your own strength, your own power, your own magic. One of the things that I say all the time is you're the magic. I just help you realize that. And realize is a great word. Realize, to make
realize.
Real.
Realize, yeah. Uh-huh.
And
right.
It's vital because if we don't perceive something to be reality, it isn't. Because ultimately...
And vice versa.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Well, no, I don't have... Well, if we... So if we... What did you just say? If we don't perceive it to be reality, but if we do perceive it to be reality, something as simple as, I'm going to find a parking spot, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
So, oddly enough, this sounds like a bad joke. Years and years ago, I was going up to pick Sage with Robert Watts, who produced all the Indiana Jones stuff, LeVar Burton, and somebody that was going to be a rabbi in the future. And I'm sitting in the back seat, and at this point, I'm a kid next to all these guys that are really knowledgeable. And Robert Watts says, if you could visualize a parking space, you can visualize $1 million.
Amen.
The difference that most people have between those two visualizations is one doesn't have any grip to it. The other one is got a force to it, an attachment to it. And the more you could let go, the more you can have.
Yes. Okay. So let's bring it back around to you as a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And as you having been around other guides yourself, like the elders and tribal leaders. And so let's go back to that. Getting out of our own way. I want to look for those ideas around a shift. So
you're asking, how do we get out of our own way?
Yeah.
Douglas Adams, one of the founding members of Monty Python, and also wrote the series Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Okay. A quote from one of his books after that was, the trick to flying is to hurl yourself at the ground and miss. And that's how you let go as well. You just have to go for it with so much presence, so much being in the moment, that projection into the future or looking in the rearview mirror to the past doesn't have room for it in that moment. And automatically you let go because you're there. And there is... We often think of time in a very linear form, but time is more like a big, if you think of a shoelace, the way most humans think about time is if you take that shoelace out and you stretch it. Yeah. What time is in reality is if you take that whole shoelace and you scrunch it all together, and that way a hop from one place to another place to another place isn't that great long
the
distance.
Linear, yes.
Instead, it's just simply letting go again, and then you can be where you need to be. And it's an elder taught me about that word, need.
Okay.
The universe will provide your needs. You have to pay for your wants. So there's got to be some kind of an offering for a want. Ooh.
Wow, that is mighty. Okay. So do you have an example of something you had to pay for?
That I had to pay for. I'm sure I do, but not at this
very
second.
But not in a relevant way. It's probably more, there's probably the more interesting thing to think about is the needs that were provided for.
So what are your needs? And you talked about what energy work is. Energy work and our needs are essentially the same thing. Mm. Energy work, at the end of the day, forget about all the pomp, the circumstance, the incense, if you're in a Catholic church, putting on the cassocks and the robes and having the priest up there, or if you're out in the middle of the desert and somebody's got the traditional gowns on and headdress on, take away all of that. Ultimately, what is it? If you're going to Sundance, the key to Sundancing, if you want to do it from a true place, is to have a big enough prayer.
Mm.
And to have a big enough prayer means essentially, what is it that you're willing to breathe love into without attachment? And that's all healing is.
That is beautiful. A big enough prayer.
Yeah. That's why it's...
Can you specify Sundance? I'm not actually familiar with that. Or I have some ideas for it maybe. But...
To a certain extent, I can. And to a certain extent, I've been requested not to.
Oh, I see.
A Sundance is... In the tradition that I have been privileged to experience is a Lakota ceremony.
Okay.
And it happens once a year. And the details I'm going to leave out, but ultimately it requires a piercing and then going up to a tree of life and allowing that tree of life to be a facilitator in bursting that piercing through your chest.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you, and the difference is, you see some people out there, some dancers out there, struggle with it and pull and pull. Mm. And you see their skin literally stretched out because they're holding on.
I see.
But when you're ready to let go, so I've seen other guys out there where it's just boom. And then their piercing goes and there's almost no bleeding. And other ones, they're profusely bleeding. And a lot of that has to do with attachment. How much are you holding on? How much is your prayer...
Wow.
About just the prayer versus all of your other little subtle intentions behind it. I'm giving this to you because really ultimately what I'd like back from you is instead of just going, this is your gift, period, to do with as you will, if you will, you're not even obligated to accept it. But I'm giving.
Yes.
Without intention, without expectation.
A very valuable lesson in this, and in the subtleties of that, and always an important reminder.
Yeah.
So, a lot of traditions you've studied in a lot of traditions, so Native American as well as South American and Eurasia or Australia.
With the Aborigines in the outback. Oh man.
So, I'd love some stories if we may, and how it brought about your transformations. So. Want to go to Australia?
There are certain things. I mean, you could see even, it's just even thinking about it, the hair stands up because there are certain things and people, it's just their presence sometimes.
Yeah.
You just are with them and they have such a clean vibrational field. They are so pervasive that just being with them, you're bathed in the power and the reflection and the mirror of your own sense of strength, your own sense of self. Because when you're with somebody that's really, really great, they're not telling you about how great they are. They're simply helping you recognize how phenomenal, how powerful, how magical you are. And that's the key. It's, you know, whether you're doing ceremony or not. I mean, in 12 hours up a tributary of the Amazon with an old shaman who's no longer walking on this planet named Carlitos, and he's there, and his wife is singing songs, and you're in the middle of a mesh tent, so you could look up through the canopy of the jungle and see so many stars that the darkness of the sky is much less dense than the brightness of the stars. And the songs take you, and the music takes you, and the medicine takes you. And then you go, takes you. Where does it take you to? It takes you to where you need to go. Now, the thing that people don't understand is change is really easy. What makes change difficult for humans is that we grip on to the past. We grip on to the familiar. In this vernacular, it's called the comfort zone. Comfort zone is a BS term. What it is in reality is a familiar zone.
Yes.
So it's a known level of pain and suffering. But what really freaks me out about humans is that it's a known level of joy and happiness as well. And trying to get people to go beyond that spectrum that they're familiar with, even more so to experience happiness, is like dragging somebody kicking and screaming to themselves. And it's, you go, but you're going to be happy. And they say, I know, but this is what I know.
Yeah.
And it's not change that's difficult. It's the friction of gripping onto what was instead of just letting go. Because ultimately the key is if you are not incessantly letting go, you are not availing yourself of the opportunity to have.
So you challenge us to be continually letting go? Is that part of the practice for something that we could take away from this?
Presence. Because if you are present, You're not gripping on to anything. You're not holding on to a moment because
or
this
anticipating
moment, right?
Future.
So I think it was Lao Tzu that said,
yeah,
depression is caused by looking into the past, and anxiety is caused by projecting into the future. Happiness is in the present. Every single great philosopher, teacher, elder, from Confucius to Lao Tzu to Buddha to Eckhart Tolle talks about to Ram Dass,
yeah,
be here now, because the happiness is here now. The key is we have such a little monkey mind that we have to train ourselves to understand, why am I going there? What's there for me? Is there anything else? And that's why you talk about a meditation practice that you have.
Yeah.
And that's what that really ultimately does. You also swim. I had a type A plus triathlete as a client, and she said, I can't meditate. Fuck that shit. I'm not doing this. I'm not sitting there. And because most people don't understand what meditation actually is,
right,
it's not going to a cave, sitting in a saffron robe with a shaved head.
Don't forget the incense.
I forgot the incense. My bad. Instead, so what I did with that client,
yeah,
so I went, great, you're a triathlete. Let's go to the pool. Met her at the pool. Literally threw her into the pool, said, here's your homework. You have to swim laps. Don't count laps. Don't think about anything but the two things that I give to you to think about. Form and breath. That's all I want you to think about.
Mm.
Form and breath. And that became her meditation. Because in that, she became present. Breathing into her presence. And you swim like crazy. And you meditate like crazy. And, you know, for me, one of the ways I discovered it, I went to a yoga class up in Santa Monica. A guy named Brian Kest. Phenomenal class.
Sure.
I love his classes. Beats the living crap out of you for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And at the end of the 2 hours, he looks at you and he goes, now yoga class is going to begin.
Oh.
And what we do at that point is go into a meditation. And he says, all of that stuff that we did before this was to bring you present into this moment. And I got so blissed out in class one day. And I walk out into the streets of Santa Monica afterwards. And there's car horns honking. There's people cutting you off. And I found myself going, fuck you. And I went, wait a second. I said, the point of that yoga class and that blissed out state wasn't for that bubble to remain
exactly
in the bubble, but to take that bubble and bring it out into this environment. So it's no longer a bubble. It's your life.
All is yoga.
Exactly.
So when you're going through some, when you just described the sun ceremony, and sweat lodge would be another form of ancient tradition that would fall under shamanism, possibly, or traditions?
There are, again, Lakota are one of the big people to do lodges.
To bring shifts about. I was just curious. I mean, you know, that into the fire, is that part of what we have to do? And is that some of the ritual, what some of the rituals are doing for us?
Have to do? There is no have to do.
Hmm.
There's whatever works for an individual.
True.
The Native American prayer ceremony, a sweat lodge, you go into the inipi or the lodge itself.
Yeah.
And it's essentially a birthing. And there are rounds. So what happens is the ceremony, like any ritual, begins far before the actual event and then integrates far afterwards.
Yes.
So the entire day, if you're doing it and you're a firekeeper, you're listening to the stones. And the reason they use stones in a sweat lodge is because they are the oldest things on the planet. So they've seen the most and therefore hold the wisdom. And you listen as you're choosing a stone to be used in this ceremony, because some of them are going to say, ooh, I have something I want to share. And others are going to be like, I don't want to talk to you. And the more you, and then you choose, and then you lay them out in a very specific pattern with intention, with energy. And then at some point you light a fire that's specifically designed to heat those stones so that you have these glowing, red, pulsing rocks. And then you take them into the lodge at the appropriate time when the song leader or the water pourer or the chief calls for them. And he'll call for a specific amount of stones. And when he's done, he'll shut the flap and the whole thing is sealed. So it is pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And you could feel the heat emanating from the stones. And you could see them. The only thing you can see is the pulsing of the red glowing stones. And then it's a series of prayers and songs, or prayers through songs.
Yeah.
Prayers for yourself, prayers for others, a giveaway round, and just a dream round.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one is getting you closer to yourself. A lot of it is very similar to Akashic Records, believe it or not, in that Akashic Records is a way for us to talk to our higher versions of ourselves, the versions of ourselves that have been here through lifetimes and have recorded it and recognized it and hold on to not only the energy, the wisdom of that, but the ability to communicate that. And we go into that place where we recognize ourselves as humans, but not just humans. One of the things that I love to say is that each one of us, energetically and in reality, are both the drop in the ocean and the ocean itself.
Wow, yes.
Because they are both individual and indiscernible.
Powerful. So I'm going to take us back to the beginning of our conversation when you were giving the different descriptions of shamanism, right? And so one, you spoke of the wounded healer
and the bridge.
All right. Yeah. I like bridge also.
Bridge is because my job, there are so many people out here, whether you're a psychiatrist, a psychologist, whether you're a shaman, whether you're a medicine man, or saying that you are, that are going to go and they're going to do it for you, or they're going to tell you what to do. And if they're doing that, again, you look at them and you go, they're so smart, they're so wise, they're so powerful, but you're not recognizing your own personal strength.
Okay.
So I can be the vehicle for you to go across, but ultimately you have to cross. Or I could go across holding your hand, but ultimately it's still your journey. One of the things that I describe my work as is I'm going to take you into the dark room of your choosing. I'm going to help you find the light switch, but you find it. You turn on the light, and what you do with that vision is your choice, your empowerment, your gift on this planet. Because one of the greatest gifts that we have as humans is the gift of choice. So.
Aho. As they say, something I learned in the sweat lodge, right?
Absolutely.
I want to ask some more about your journeys, and I know that when things are safe again, maybe a trip to Peru could happen for lots of us with you. So would you like to talk a little bit about what you've done in the past and hopefully we'll be doing in the future?
So it's a lot like what I was describing earlier.
Yeah.
The first thing I do with anybody that wants to go to a trip to go work with plant medicine, to work with shamans in the jungle of Peru or up in Machu Picchu, is I ask for an intention or, as I was saying earlier, a prayer. What is it that you want for yourself as a result of having gone on this journey? And inevitably, I'm going to get something huge like, I want peace. Well, what the fuck does that mean? It's like, so at the end of the day, we take this boulder and we whittle it down and whittle it down until peace means to this person. What is it? What's the one little touchstone that they can literally, because I will give them a touchstone infused with that intention to take with them throughout and hold throughout the journey. What is it that they can put into that touchstone that they're going to carry back and manifest and transform into a reality of their everyday lives? And so you go on this journey, everybody sets up an intention. And trust me, I've had plenty of people come to me and say, oh, I want to do a medicine journey. I go, really? Why? I just thought I'd want to check it out. Nope. You'd be shocked how many people say that. Oh, I heard it was really cool. Cool. Bye-bye.
So are we talking, when you say medicine journey, are we talking about ayahuasca?
It can be ayahuasca, but there's many different. There are so many teacher plants. Food is a teacher plant.
Chocolate
is a teacher plant. Absolutely.
I learn a lot from chocolate.
So what do you learn from chocolate? I'm curious.
Well, I really feel, I mean, I'm joking because who doesn't love chocolate? I mean, there are some people that don't like chocolate, but I actually have really gotten to the point of being a chocolate snob and being very selective, and I use it. I use specific chocolates for different times, and say there's a task that I don't want to do, a little chocolate just gives me vigor and focus.
Yeah.
So it really actually, I've come to just, it's not just only a treat. I really use it as a tool.
I get it. And yeah. That's all. And everything that we ingest can be that. Because at the end of the day, everything is sacred.
Yes.
Everything is sacred. And that means even those things that we look at as hideous or hard or even violent is still a sacred moment. The idea is if you could approach it from the place of, this sounds so cliche, but if you could approach it from the place of what is being offered to me versus why is this happening to me?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't see that as cliche. Again, sometimes we just need to be reminded of that shift, how to shift the perspective.
Yeah. And you could either learn how to ride the wave or you could get tumbled over by the wave. The wave is coming.
Yeah.
The energy is present. And you're talking about, what's a wave? A wave is communication between the feminine of the ocean and the feminine of the moon. Huh. And they draw off of one another to create certain movement. And then what they're there for us. How we can employ that, that's up to us as individuals. You are a huge swimmer. For you, that's more than just swimming. That's the difference in your energy field when you swim and when you don't.
Yes.
Dramatic, because it provides for you, and you could tell me I'm crazy. This is just what I've observed. It provides for you a communication not only with your higher self, but with the energy field of the entire world. And that you drop down and you get into such a combination of incredible energy in congruence with incredible peace when you swim a lot, especially in the ocean.
It's true. It's true. It's very important. And I hope everybody explores that. I mean, I still think that swimming is probably one of the healthiest things we can do for ourselves. And Greg is right. It becomes more uplifting and, you know, transcendent than only getting exercise and doing your laps and things like that. So I once had a wise teacher say to me that through swimming, I will cleanse my aura of bad relationships. So is that why I'm swimming
again,
a lot?
Then, okay, so back to what you asked. Get an intention. We all go down into usually Lima, because it's sort of a jump-off point. Why do I take people to go on journeys? Well, there's all the things that you're going to get from the journey itself. But just the idea of geographically going into an environment where nothing is familiar, your nose isn't up against the mirror the same way it would be if you're at home.
It's true.
You're taken away from people you know, from environments you know that are familiar to you.
Food.
Exactly. Everything. And now you're in something completely foreign. That means that all you're really left with is you. First night, I get everybody together in a room, and I have them stand up, and I have them make a declaration. What's your intention? Because now it's not just your intention. You have your tribe supporting you throughout this. Whether they're conscious of it or not so important. But they're there, it's been declared, it's been stated, and it takes guts. I've seen people break down just for having said, what is so close and what is so true to their entire being, to their soul, to their presence.
So the work is already beginning at that point.
No, the work began way before that
point. Even when they were deciding to come. I see.
Even before they decided to call me and say, hey, I want to do this.
Yeah, I see.
Every journey is long, long before. So we do that, and then I take them even further away from themselves. And then we get on a boat, and we go up a tributary, the Amazon, and we pick up a little old man and a little old lady, little old shaman, and usually his wife, who's the singer, and they sing amazing songs during ceremony. And we go into a place that is stunning. I'm telling you, I was so at peace, at home, at just in love with being in the jungle. I really, by the time we were packing up to go, I felt like, you could leave me here.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to die in 2 days out here, but I'll be so happy for 2 days. But so we take them down. We get everything all set up. And you're fasting at this point because just like everything else, you want to go into ceremony clean. And ayahuasca right now is considered trendy, is considered, ooh, hip, what's that? I'm doing these kind of things, sort of like microdosing these days.
Yes.
Everybody just thinks it's the beast's knees. And you know what? It is a useful tool. You need three things that you need for any journey, as far as I'm concerned. Intention, integrity, and a really solid guide.
Yes.
Because as good as we are doing our own stuff, again, we're just too close to that mirror to see a lot. You need somebody that's once removed that can say, hi, guess what I see?
Yeah.
Not to judge, but just to reflect back. Not to tell you what you to do with that reflection, just to provide an opportunity for you to recognize something that you may not have otherwise. And then everybody's experience with ayahuasca is so incredibly different, because we each need different things. You could go off to magic school in a whole different world. You could go and see dragons or snakes or whatever it is. You could just sit there and be peaceful and go, this is nice. It has a huge gamut. One of the things that I found fascinating, I just had the privilege of being one of the presenters at an event called Contact in the Desert, where they talk about aliens and what that may mean and look like in reference to humans in this planet. Both people that I worked with were talking about maybe aliens and space travel aren't so much about getting into a little flying saucer and jetting off somewhere, but instead, what if it's about interdimensional expressions of being?
I believe that.
And it was specifically brought up with Paul Hynek, whose father basically wrote the book on a lot of this stuff, about ayahuasca being a portal, being a facilitator, a catalyst for you to open up to interdimensional travel. So it opens a gateway, is what he was saying. And I believe it to be true because of some of my experiences. Opens up a gateway for you to travel to, I'm just using this as an example, Mars. And so what are you going to do on Mars? What's the point? Well, there are going to be certain beings, certain energies that are going to teach you about you, teach you about what strengths, what abilities that there are in this world. And then you take that back. And for me, I got to take that back and integrate that and become a little bit better of a guide.
Amazing. So ever learning.
Always.
Always on the path.
Oh, yeah. There is no done. I can't begin to tell you. So one of the questions you almost always get when people ask about sweat lodges, first thing out, so how long does it last? You know what the answer is? As long as it takes.
Yeah.
And also, people go, so when am I going to be done with this? And I go, never. And they look at me like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Done, go, meaning when they've learned enough.
Yeah, it's they're like going, ouch, this hurts. I want to stop growing. I want to start having to go through this.
Yeah.
And I go, look, the amount of stuff that gets piled on your plate is not ever going to change dramatically. But what will change is your perspective on it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between it becoming a burden or a tool. Something that you can employ for your own happiness, for other people's happiness, to share, to grow love. Because ultimately, that's the only thing.
Why is shamanism one of those buzzwords these days and practices? You mentioned here in Southern California and everyone calling themselves a shaman. What is it? Are we trying to get back to the earth? I mean, I think that's a big part of what we attribute to shamanism is, right, connecting with nature, with the natural elements.
I am so much more cynical than you about this, mm-hmm, because ultimately you're correct. However, what my feeling is, why do people are so hot on shamanism or ayahuasca or mushrooms? Because they're looking for the pill that's going to make them skinnier, prettier. They're looking for the shortcut. They're looking for the magic thing that they don't have to actually work, but it's just going to happen for them or to them. And what they don't realize is if you're really doing the work, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's gorgeous. Sometimes it is torturous. And because it may be what you need in that moment is to go through a hard, hard process.
Yes, indeed.
And it may be what you need in that moment is to have a cakewalk. It just comes down to that thing. The universe, and all a plant medicine is the universe working through that plant for you. So the universe is going to provide what you need. Now, if it's hard, odds are it's because we haven't learned how to accept it being easy. As much as
there,
we make
there is something, I know I'm going to be thinking about that. I know I'm going to give that some thought about letting it be easy.
Well, because as much as we kick and scream and yell that we want it to be easy,
when it's there.
So I'll tell you a very silly, simple example in my life. I got a dog 4 months ago. She's here in the studio with us. She's almost everywhere with me. I had been looking for months and months and months all over the place for this dog. And I got up one morning and I saw her online and I said, that's my dog. And I started talking to the place that had her. And one of the questions I asked was, so how do you normally, because the dog was in Ohio. And I said, so how do you normally get dogs out here? Where do you live? I live in Southern California. Really? Because somebody's coming to pick up her brother today and drive him out to Southern California.
And what I stopped. A blessing.
Well, it could have been and it could have not been because I had to stop myself. And I literally heard myself say, Greg, do you want to do what you often do, which is make this really difficult? Or do you want to accept it because it's being handed to you on a platter?
Yeah.
And because I accepted it, I have a phenomenal puppy and great joy. And it happens so easily. But I know that I am perfectly capable of saying, I didn't earn that. I didn't work hard enough. I didn't fight hard enough for it. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think, I don't want to win the lottery. I want to earn that money. Nowadays, I'm like,
I know, same.
Bring it, bitch.
I know. This is so true. Well, Greg, I want people, there's so much wisdom in our time has whizzed by here because you're a wizard. Get it? But I'd love to let people know how to find you. So your website is Inner Journey.
My website is gregfriedman.com. Oh, yeah. Friedman spelled Friedman.
Right on. Radio show every Sunday night.
Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Inner Journey with Greg Friedman. We've had the privilege to talk with some of the greatest minds, hearts, souls on this planet, including you. You've been a guest on the program.
Thank you.
People like Don Miguel Ruiz, Greg Braden, Carolyn Meese, Marianne Williamson have all been guests.
There's an incredible archive. You can listen to the shows. They're all there to have a look. So, and then you give very good Facebook. So definitely find Greg on social media as well. Thank you.
I'm
so checking
blessed.
To see if Petunia wants to come and say hi real quick after that beautiful
I don't think
story.
We could get her on the camera. It might be a little difficult.
It's great. Wow. Such wisdom, Greg.
I am always honored to spend time with you.
Thank you.
Whether we're goofing around or we're doing some kind of ceremony or ritual. When I first met you, I met you at a place called the Integratron. And since we've been at Shakti Fest and Bhakti Fest and some amazing, amazing... You've been a great experience in my life, and I get to share other places with you with that. So thank you.
Cheers. How about Peru?
That would be phenomenal
go
when
on.
They open
Join
up.
Us.
Let's go.
Join us. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here. Truth Be Told, Transformation. Stay tuned for new episodes coming soon, and also watch for Truth Be Told every Friday live on YouTube and more. Thanks again. I'm Bonnie Burkert. Aho.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.